As you turn there, I will lead us in another word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we ask that this morning you would bless it. That during our time together that you would send your Holy Spirit. And that he would go out with the word as it is preached and he would apply it to the minds and to the hearts of every individual gathered here this morning. For the unbeliever, we pray that they would come to know Christ. That they would behold him in his word, that they would trust in him for salvation. For the believers here gathered, we pray that you would grant us strength. That you would grant us growth in godliness, growth in understanding, that we would be conformed into the image of your Son who we have trusted in. God, to all of us, we pray that you would just bless this time as we consider what your holy word says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Here's what God's word says. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. In Houston, Texas, during the 1970s, there was a man by the name of Dean Corll. To his neighbors, he seemed like a fine and ordinary man. His mother even owned a small candy factory, and he was known to spend most of his time there, and from time to time, he would gift children with candy. And thus, he got the name Candyman. Though there were warning signs that he had an irregular interest in young men, everyone let it slide. After time, he groomed two younger men as accomplices, and he would use them, candy, alcohol, or drugs to get young men inside his vehicle and then drive them to his home. And then these three men would torture and kill whoever they brought home with them. Now, why would I bring up such a grim thing? Because folly in our text is much like Mr. Corll. She promises pleasure. She promises life. She promises fun. She invites people into her home, promising something good. But all who enter her door only find death and destruction. Mr. Corll would one day die at the hands of one of his accomplices. And oftentimes we find that those who tempt often meet the same end of the ones they tempt. Sin, folly, wickedness. These are serious matters. Every bit as serious as a serial killer who killed over 28 people in the span of 3 years. We have read before in our book, in this book study that we've been doing through the book of Proverbs, that we should hate sin. We should despise it with an utmost hatred. We have learned that of Lady Adultery, who is beckoning passerbys to come and commit heinous acts with her. We have learned that there are grave consequences to following sin and wickedness. And our text answers a key question. How should we respond to folly when she calls? How should we respond to temptation when it comes? And notice I use the word when and not if. Because temptation will most certainly come. Folly is already continuously calling. Sin is at the door, crouching, waiting to see whom he might devour. The answer to that question of how we should respond to folly when she calls is we should resist her. We should resist her. We should make war against her. But the big idea this morning is resist folly. The last few weeks when we were earlier on in chapter 9, I charged you to walk with wisdom, who like folly issues a call. But unlike folly, wisdom is able to grant everything that he promises. And wisdom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is good and desires only good for those who come to him. But again, this morning, my charge is resist folly. And as we go through this text, I want us to consider three aspects of folly. Number one, resist folly, considering her dumb character. Considering her dumb character. Look at verses 13 through 14 with me. Solomon writes, "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places in town." In verse 13, we start to see the way she is. Our text describes Lady Folly as loud, meaning she is boisterous. She is stormy. She is restless. She is one who causes commotion. She makes a scene. We also find in our text that she is naive or simple-minded. The ESV translates the second word describing Lady Folly as seductive. And she certainly is that. But I think that a better translation here would be the word naive. Because the Hebrew word that's translated is used, or a very similar word is used just a few words later. And it is those who are simple or those who lack sense. So she is naive. She is simple-minded. She is gullible. She is silly. In other words, we might say she's dumb. Not worthy of being followed. In case it doesn't say that, the very next word that is descriptive of her is that she is ignorant. It literally says she knows nothing. She knows not anything at all. She is without the truth. She has no knowledge of God or his ways. She leads others to death, a death that she will also one day experience. In other words, following her is, as Jesus says, the blind following the blind. Next, we see where she sits. The text in verse 14 says she sits at the door of her house. It also says she sits at the highest place in town. In both of those statements, notice that folly is described as one who sits. Unlike wisdom, when we go just earlier in this passage, who prepares her house for the coming guests and proactively sends out messengers to call to people everywhere, folly just sits and yells from her post. Folly desires to be a tyrant who rules with an iron fist, never having to leave her seat. But to the contrary of her, wisdom does not sit. he serves. Jesus rules through service. As he said in his first coming, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I already alluded to this passage, but what Jesus says of the Pharisees, I think, is important here in Matthew 15. He says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be rooted up. Let them alone," talking about the Pharisees. "They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit." If one follows Lady Folly, they will fall into the same pit that she falls into. Believer, hear this. Sin is stupid. It is. It's irrational. It's stupid. It's foolish. It never brings anything good to those who commit it. Yes, there might be a temporary fleeting pleasure or euphoria that comes from committing sin, but in the end, it always has a grave and awful consequence. It's never worth it. And with that being the case, you should keep yourself as far away from sin as possible. When I've done ministry with college students or high school students, a question that I've been asked, or basically what's being implied, is how close can I get to the line? How far can I go before I get into this area of sin? But that's not the attitude or the type of questions that Christians should be asking. We should be asking, how can we be most holy? How can we most honor and serve the one who loved us and gave himself for us? How can we display gratitude to the one who came and suffered and died for our sins? And then when we answer such questions, that's the way we should live. Rather than seeking to just stay away from sin or get as close to sin as possible without actually doing it, instead, we should be more preoccupied with walking with Jesus. So I encourage you, believer, walk with Jesus. Follow him wherever he would have you go. One of the best ways to spot folly for what she is to know the one who is her opposite. And her opposite in our text is wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike her, he is not foolish. Unlike her, he does not lead others to death. Unlike her, he is not lazy or boisterous or simple-minded. He is good, and he gives good things to those who come to him. And thus, Christian, if you want to avoid folly, I encourage you, rather than focusing on folly, just focus on Jesus. And in order to know more about Jesus, there's only one place to go: his word. So study the scriptures. I say that every week, right? Go and read your Bible. That's what you expect a pastor to say, but there's a reason so many pastors say it. It's not like we get a bonus every time we say it. You need to know the scriptures. You need to hear the scriptures preached. You need to believe and follow the scriptures, because they are a lamp unto your feet, and they will help you to spot all the traps and all the temptations that come along the way of life. So, believer, sin is stupid. Avoid it. And church, let us make sure that we follow Solomon's example here and we warn people about folly. We warn people about sin. One thing that we could always do better at is proving to the unbeliever that the way of Christ is actually superior to the way of folly. That in the way of Christ, there is more joy. There is more fun even. Jesus is not a cosmic killjoy. The way of Jesus is just simply better. The way of folly is not. So let us proclaim the beauties that come and the blessings that come with following after Jesus. An unbeliever, sin is stupid, as I said. And folly is obviously foolish. But when we go to the scriptures, it says a great deal about those who live in unbelief. You currently are heading down that wrong path. You currently are walking the way that leads right into the trap that Lady Folly has set. Sin and wickedness has taken you captive. You are blind and you are following blind guides. You need light because you are in darkness. You need Christ so that you might be saved. The good news is that folly is not the only one who calls out, but wisdom also calls, and he invites everybody to come to him. Even if you've followed folly for a really, really long time, as long as you are still alive today, you can turn from folly and you can turn to wisdom, and he will save you. He will. He promises to do so. And unlike folly, he is not a liar. So unbeliever, turn to Jesus and he will save you. May we all resist folly, considering her dumb character. Number two, resist folly, considering her devilish call. Her devilish call. Look at verses 15 through 17. Folly being spoken of here, it says, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. At the beginning of these three verses, we see the kinds of people that folly calls out to. She calls out to those who are described as going by or going straight. These are unsuspecting travelers who desire to live life and hopefully one day enter into eternal life. Folly seeks to recruit not only the worst of people, but those who just meander through life who we might even deem good people. She seeks to call to such people. She wants to turn ordinary people into wicked people like her. She also calls to those who she describes as simple and naive. They are, in her eyes, easy prey. She, in arrogance, doesn't realize she is just as doomed as those who would follow her. And then she also appeals to those who lack heart. Or the ESV describes them as those who lack sense. Yes, she doesn't only want the ordinary person, she does want the rebel as well. Folly is after everybody. Whoever she can get to come and pass through her door, she would have them. And additionally, we also see the kind of appeal that folly gives. First, she promises stolen water. Sin, like theft, brings a moment of exhilaration and pleasure. But no water, whether stolen or not, is as sweet as the wine that wisdom has mixed. You go earlier in the chapter. Wisdom does not offer mere water or stolen water. He offers sweet and mixed wine. We might even say the wine of salvation. We begin to see her tactics. She dresses up lesser things as better. She also promises hidden bread. Wisdom also offered bread to his guest, but he does not require that it is eaten in secret. What is good doesn't need to be hidden. What is received or given in a worthy way does not need to be eaten in secret. The language of bread and water has been used other times in this book to convey sexual intimacy between husband and wife. And thus we see some similarities here between Lady Folly and adultery. They both are seeking to tempt people to partake of that which is forbidden. And they dress it up as something beautiful and good when it only brings destruction and damnation. There was once a little girl. You probably have heard of her. She wore a red hood. One day she was going to her grandma's house. Little did she know that a wolf had devoured her grandmother and dressed himself up in her grandmother's clothing. When the girl got to her grandmother's home, the wolf tried to mimic her grandma's voice and invited the little girl in. The wolf kept inviting the little girl closer and closer, and the girl began to notice these differences, like pointy ears and a long snout and sharp teeth, but she kept coming closer. Because, I mean, the wolf was clothed like her grandmother. And he made all kinds of excuses for all these subtle or not so subtle differences. And in the end, he ate Little Red Riding Hood. She stayed rather than running and was devoured just like her grandmother. No matter how much a wolf dresses up like a grandma, at the end of the day, it's still a wolf. And no matter how much sin is dressed up as something as good, it's always going to be bad. Now, is there a huntsman, a great huntsman who can save people from the belly of a wolf? Well, in the Christian walk, of course there is. We call him Jesus. He is able to save those who find themselves even in the bowels of the wolf of folly and sin. But that being said, we should not be presumptive or presumptuous and follow sin wherever it would lead us to go, even if it's dressed in nice and welcoming attire. Believer, Jesus has freed us from slavery to sin, Satan, and death. He called us effectually and powerfully. He makes war with the one who would destroy us with his seduction and lies. See in this passage the schemes of Satan as well as the nature of temptation. Temptation always offers pleasure, and it dresses up sin to the nines. But in the end, sin will always bring pain and death. For as Romans says, the wages of sin is death. No matter how dressed up it is, in the end, it will still kill you. And so it is with folly. Unbeliever, you are currently heading down the wrong path. As I said, you have followed and taken the bait. A wolf is waiting and seeking to devour you. Death and destruction await you. But there is one who can save you. And again, I tell you, he offers to do so graciously. He invites you at all times to come to him. He invites you to a better way of life. He invites you to eternal life. He offers you the forgiveness of sins. And he is one who can overcome the evil one. So again, I tell you, sin is stupid. So rather than running after sin, run to Christ, and he will set you free. May we all resist folly, considering her dumb character and her devilish call. And thirdly, resist folly, considering her deadly consequence. Her deadly consequence. Look at verse 18 there with me. It says, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. In the final verse of chapter 9, we see the ignorance of those that folly invites. The one who has no heart, is said to not know what is beyond the beyond the door of Lady Folly's home. He does not know that it is a tomb filled with dead sinners who abandoned the path of life and wandered down the path of destruction. They are blind to what awaits them and walk through the door that leads to their demise. We also see the end of those who answer Folly's call. Sheol is the place of the dead. The guests of Folly find permanent residence in such an awful place. They join those who have wandered through her doors, answering her call, and find themselves to be in a state of death and judgment. When my grandparents moved into the house that they built, there were some parts of the house that were not quite finished. In the dining room, there was a door that went outside. And it had a beautiful window, and through that window you could see a beautiful view. But if you went to walk through that door, you opened it up and you began to walk out, you would not enjoy the view for very long because you would drop 9 feet because there was no porch yet. But looking at the door, looks pretty good and inviting out there. Is not the door of Folly similar? It's so inviting. It's so welcoming. It's so warm. You get your greatest pleasure and your desires fulfilled. But oh wait, once you enter the door, you drop and you die. Now maybe you won't die falling 9 feet at my grandparents' house. But as a little kid, when that house was built, if I had ran out that door, it might have got me. Thankfully, I didn't. You may not all be so thankful, but I did not run out the door. Or maybe you wonder whether or not I did, and that explains what's wrong with me. But the point is simple. As promising as something can look, as promising as a door might look, you should know what's on the other side before you walk through it. And the beautiful thing of Scripture and the beautiful thing of our Lord Jesus Christ is he tells us what's on the other side of Folly's door. He tells us she only has death on the other side of her door. And how should we respond to that? We shouldn't go through it. Because we know that she only brings pain and destruction to those who walk through it. It is true that sin deserves death. And it is only Jesus who can save us from such death. Jesus does not just merely save us from sin, but also he seeks to guide and empower us to live a life that brings glory and honor to him. And in doing so, as we have seen in our passage, Jesus speaks through Solomon here and shows us we should not walk through the door of Folly's home. Believer, you are with Christ now. You walk on the path of life, but know this. Temptation still appeals to you. Sin and folly, they still call out to you, seeking to distract you, seeking to render you ineffective, seeking to cause you pain and harm. While such things can still happen. So continue to resist folly and her call. Put the flesh that remains in you to death. Resist the devil, and James says he will flee. So fight temptation. And Christian parents, we do have some encouragement here. As God warns us in his word of the dangers of folly and sin, we should also warn our children of such things. Many of you, present, this guy included, we have followed sin from time to time, haven't we? We have experienced the regrets and the difficulties and the hardships that come with following sin. And to the best of our ability, as those of us who are parents, we should seek to help our children avoid those same things that we didn't avoid. And they may not take our advice, like we didn't take our advice of our parents who went before us. But we must still warn them. that sin and folly, it may feel good for a moment, but in the end, it will always hurt and always bring hurt. Church, let us be what we are called to be. As Paul describes us as the pillar and foundation of the truth, let us be such. Let us be a place where wisdom is proclaimed, where God's word is held up, and where we seek to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he would have us go. And let us help one another avoid Lady Folly. Let us encourage one another to walk on the path of life, because it is hard to walk sometimes. As I said, I think it was last week, sometimes our walk is more of a hobble or a crawl. But let us help one another get to the end of the race that God has set before us. Non-believer, I speak to you again. I don't want you to die and be damned in your sins. I don't want you to experience the pain and the death that is here spoken of in verse 18. I want you to be saved. I want you to know life and life abundantly. I want you to know the joy that surpasses all understanding. I want you to know the God who made you and the God who loves you. And I want you to spend all eternity with him. And it's great that he wants such things for you too. And that is why the Lord Jesus calls to all. He issues a call to all. He invites all who are weary and heavy laden to come to him, and he will give them rest. He says that whoever seeks him, they will find him. And whoever knocks, the door will be open to them. So unbeliever, come to Jesus. Trust in him. Because there will come a time when it is too late. When your last breath leaves your lungs, or if Jesus returns before that, if you've not turned to him, it will be too late. You will be one of the victims of Lady Folly. You will be the one of the ones who has walked through her door and find yourself in the depths of Sheol. And there will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth. But it doesn't have to be that way. Resist folly now and walk with wisdom. May we all resist folly, considering her dumb character, her devilish call, and deadly consequence. In the 1970s, Dean Corll and his accomplices promised young men candy, alcohol, drugs, and a good time. And at least 28 young men never left his home. Folly has invited even more people into her home and her way of life. Many who go to her never leave her house and meet a fate far worse than physical death. Great care must be given when deciding who to follow or who you will have fellowship with. I charge you in verses 1 through 12 to walk with wisdom. The flip side of that is resist folly. In order to truly resist folly, you must replace her with somebody better. And there is only one. And his name is wisdom. And we know him by the more common name, Jesus Christ. So today I have charged you all, resist folly. And I charge you again as I did a few weeks ago, or rather last week and the few weeks before that, walk with wisdom. He will save you. He will guide you. He will provide you with clarity and comfort. He will give you strength. He will get you all the way to the end of the way that leads to life. And there is no other person who can get you there, and you cannot get there by yourself. Believer, remember that you need Jesus just as much today as when you first believed. And you will need him just as much tomorrow. And the next day, and the day after that. And though folly calls, ignore her. She is stupid. She is not worth your time. Sin is not worth your time. And when you have seen that you have given in to some of her calls, confess your sins and run to Jesus again, and he will forgive you. He will grant you strength. He will set you back on the path. And all the while where you felt like you were not walking along the path, just know that Jesus continues to carry you. An unbeliever again, I plead with you this morning. Trust in Jesus. Folly may feel great for a moment, but she only brings eternal pain and misery to those who follow her. May Jesus' voice drown out the cries of Lady Folly. May God the Father draw us all to his Son and help us daily to walk with him all the way unto the end. Let's pray. Father, it's not fun to talk about sin. It's not a joyous conversation to have. But as we find it in your word, it is a necessary conversation to have. Sin and temptation are around every corner, and we need your help if we are to make it to life. You have provided us such help in your Son, and we thank you. And I pray for each person here gathered this morning that they would look to Christ, that they would trust in him for salvation, that they would walk with him for the rest of their days and know the joys of the life that he has purchased them. May they believe in his person and work for the salvation of their sins. And God, for those of us who believe, may we continue to believe. God, indeed we do believe, and we pray that you would help what unbelief remains. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As you're able, please stand as we respond.